Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, joined by Bridget and Doopsnax. And due to Doopsnax's presence here tonight, we are dubbing this episode the Snaxisode. Snaxisode? I think that works. I think that rolls off the tongue. Anyway, Doopsnax, my friend, how have you been? Welcome back to Overdunk.
Doing good. EOIC was a blast. I forgot we have an event this weekend, probably because I was so excited and focused on the ACL announcement that was made today. So you know what? Riding high.
Sweet. Yeah, we didn't get your thoughts on EOIC. Three quick, rapid thoughts on EOIC. Your favorite thing and then a couple more stuff.
Favorite thing. So there's just so many good highlight moments. That was definitely my favorite thing. Just having Peru LG in the finals was a favorite thing. And overall, the competitive scene is getting the gap between the best team and the second best team has shrunk. Ooh, right. In every region.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting. And a special shout out to OC for making day two for the first time since World Year One.
Yeah. Yippee! Didn't praise them enough on that recap episode because we were praising everything else, but shout out OC.
Yeah,
because
Kyrgios was on it, you know, and he's like, he shut down OC, so it was a whole thing. last episode.
It was drama.
It was a big drama episode. If you missed that one, go check it out on Spotify and YouTube.
I listened to that one.
Okay, Bridget, how about you? How was your last week been?
Pretty good. I've only been playing ranked a little bit, but remote is so back. Everyone hates it, but I'm kind of here for it.
Yeah. You're the lone remote supporter out there. It's kind of epic, actually.
Yeah, I think I tweeted, every time you hate on remote or something, I grow stronger. Yeah. And I think it was Black CH replied and was like, you must be stronger than Goku at this point. Yeah. I was like, yes, God.
It was pretty good. A lot of people, I think even Eeyore like tweeted out a screenshot because your tweet showed up right above Doopsnax, who was like, remote his ass in like all caps, which was
that was one of my best tweets in the last like 2 years was me just putting remote is dog shit, LMAO. And it was just one of my most banger tweets, apparently, within the Pokemon sphere. Really got legs behind it. Took off.
The community's really uniting.
Yeah. I have such mixed opinions on that map because I genuinely can't call it bad in like every facet because there's parts of it that I do like better than Thea, but I do miss that. It's a whole thing. We'll talk about it more in the episode because we actually have a lot to talk about on this week's episode. Pokemon Day was this last weekend. We made a few predictions on our episode last week. A few of them kind of came true, actually. We had some really big announcements in terms of competitive and kind of broadcast stuff that we're excited to talk about. The meta has shifted thanks to a really wild balance patch that we got from the Unite devs this last week. Suicune has hit the game and released. Right, exactly. Suicune has hit the game and released. We need to give it a report card. That is happening. We are sticking to our one segment that this show has. And then, of course, we have a huge Unite tournament coming up this weekend with the final stretch qualifiers for every TPCI region. So every region of the West. It's going to be a lot to talk about. So let's jump into the first and foremost thing was Pokemon Day. This last weekend, I think the general consensus I've been seeing is that it was a pretty strong Pokemon Day for like fans of the franchise in general. Some cool news about a lot of the games and everything, but Unite actually had a pretty strong segment this year. A quick recap. They talked about, of course, the Suicune being released into the game. They talked about the Suicune release in the game, as well as Alolan Raichu, which we did know from Data Mines. But then a Pokemon that I don't think a lot of people knew about, I definitely didn't, is going to be Alcremie, going to be hitting the game as well. Likely going to be a supporter, but who knows? Knock on wood. As well
Stop
as
saying that.
I know, seriously. And then, of course, also talking about the 500-point mode that is going to be added to the game. So some, like, really exciting stuff. And then, of course, like, remote coming back. And, you know, emblems, whatever. But, like, a decent amount of Unite content in that one post. So, kind of cool stuff there. Bridget, what are you excited about in terms of the Pokemon Day announcements? Obviously, we have Suicune already, Alolan Raichu, or Alcremie. Which one is more exciting to you?
Okay. Honestly, Alolan Raichu, I think, is going to be pretty hype. I'm, like, so excited to see its like animations mm-hmm. in Unite.
It's gonna surf. Kind of, that's gonna be sick.
Oh, it's gonna be so cute. But when they teased Outcremy in that freaking background screen years ago, I was like, it's happening. I can't wait. I need this. And then it just never happened. So I felt a lot of justice seeing that little guy in the trailer. I definitely like was pumping my fist in the air. So very excited for Outcremy.
Yeah.
I'm just like manifesting she will be a supporter. That's my
right. You have to. You have hold the
That's
line.
My fantasy.
Hold the line.
Deucex, how about you? Are you pretty excited for the next couple of Pokemon being released?
Absolutely. I think Outcremy is a great choice. I'm personally most excited about Alolan Raichu. Raichu is one of my favorite Pokemon all time.
Yeah.
Alolan Raichu definitely falls in that vein as well. So, you know, as soon as Alolan Raichu comes out, I'm going to put a light bulb on it and I'm going to play support whatever version of it I can. And we're just going to go from there and it's going to be a lot of fun. Cool. I'm excited
Double
for it.
And support rats.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
yes. Could be. Oh yes, please.
Can you imagine a Pikachu with a light bulb on top side, Alolan Raichu with a light bulb on the bottom side? That sounds like we don't know too much about Alolan Raichu in terms of how it's going to look, but auto attacker with a decent amount of crowd control, that's going to be difficult to play against. That'll be fun. That'll be really fun. I'm pretty excited about the next two introductions. I will admit, I think Outcremy is the most exciting for me out of the three, but I think the reason being is that I just know the least about what it's going to be like in game. One of my favorite hobbies is like kind of trying to unpack the like design philosophy for how they make Pokemon in Unite. Like, why does this move work this way? Are they being inspired by other like MOBA games or are they trying to like translate like that Pokemon's feel and everything into Unite to like make it work? And Outcremy is like an interesting Pokemon to me to try to like create, like, it's food based, so we could see like a healer that, you know how like Hoopa is stealing berries from around the map with Magician or something. I could see Outcremy like dropping new fruit onto the ground, right, for like Pokemon to pick up and heal, which would be really fun. Like maybe like really high healing numbers with the danger that opponents could pick it up or something similar. I don't know, there could be a lot of fun stuff if you guys got ideas for Outcremy, and I'll get them from YouTube too.
What if depending on what moveset you chose was what flavor of Outcremy is?
Doesn't Outcremy come to a bunch of different sweets things? Like something with the sweets would be awesome.
That'd be so fun.
So I think doing something with the moveset, at least correlating to a color change in Outcremy would be cool. Just visually, I think that's so conceptually cool. Fun. I don't think it's a big lift, but you know, I've been disappointed in other things before. But yeah, sure. I'm looking forward to Outcremy a lot.
I think is it just gonna be Hollowware, right? Is that the danger we get? Is just like,
well, because there's like there's like over 100 different forms of Outcremy.
Is it over 100? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because there's different like there's different like sweets, like there's different little things that can be like, it can be like a heart or like a berry or like a star, and then there's different like flavors of the Outcremy. Like the Outcremy itself can be like rainbow or like chocolate, like strawberry.
Yeah, they got really like, they have to lean
really
into
like
the
Outcremy. I would really love if they did, because there's a lot.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something. I feel like this is the Pokemon that they have to really like 100 forms of a Pokemon. Like, you got to lean into that in some way in terms of its theming. So yeah, that would be so fantastic.
Even if it was like every time you did something, it just changed to a different color, right? So it's like you score whatever, it turns into rainbow, rainbow Outcremy. It gets a knockout, it turns into chocolate. You know what I mean? It just changes based on things.
Yeah.
I think it's just, it doesn't have to have any effect impact, right? But just visually cool things are interesting.
That'd be so cool. Okay. Totally out there, crazy idea for the Unite move. Outcremy, when you use your Unite, you have to be beside one of your own goal zones, and she builds a giant gingerbread house and defends your goal zone. It's like armored up. It's like a fruit palace, and then she like throws fruit and defends it. That's my crazy idea. It's a bad idea.
That's not gonna happen.
Okay.
I hope in the games you have to like do spins, and like the different way you spin and how long you spin like changes what form Outcremy is.
Oh my gosh.
So that would to be evolve the Outcremy, you have to do like 5 spins or something.
Pick up your Switch and spin it around. Pick up your use your phone, spin it 12 times, and then you evolve.
Jesus.
Oh my gosh.
Or it's the first Pokemon that if you KO somebody, you have to spin on them. And then you evolve.
Wait, no.
We're embracing the BM. Let's go. Otter literally yeah. speed running on Krabby. That's crazy. Okay. It would be wild. Okay, so either that was really exciting. 500 point mode was also the other big announcement from Pokemon Day. We all knew it was coming, though. It was kind of introduced into the game for a little while. But now it's actually hit the game. So why don't we start talking a little bit about 500 point mode? Deucenex, you were talking about it a bit before we actually started recording the podcast. But you said you got the chance to play with Orange Juicers a little bit. I'm sure you've had a couple of games just solo queue as well. What are your thoughts on the 500 point mode?
It's currently hard to judge, but my preconceived notion from the first time we've seen it has definitely materialized to be true. If you get ahead and you know just a hair more about the game, last hits, stuff like that, you can get an insurmountable lead in levels, and you can do it pretty quickly. And of course, and I'm trying to be as candid as possible here, my experience is incredibly skewed because I was playing with Orange Juicers. So we were messing. I was the worst player on the team by miles, and I'm better than most people also by miles, right? So like we were destroying people. The only game we lost is when Kratos and Roland wanted to do a Sableye Comfey thing and try and load up a points and let's dumpster them in together. And
I like that idea. I like the idea.
And we just had no firepower to defend or attack anything. So that didn't really work out. The moment they tried that one game, we lost that game like 497, 512 or something like wow, razor thin margin.
Yeah, close.
And then after that, I literally played a different Pokemon every single game. Everything felt awesome because I was four levels ahead of everybody. So I was just destroying. So it's tough to tell, but it is one of those things that I think skill disparities are going to become evident faster until more people figure out the mode, which is just a natural progress, I think. Like, I think that's a natural progression through.
Okay. So fun factor. Do you find it really fun, or do you find it not so fun? Where you land on that?
I mean, I enjoyed the time I was having because we were winning and we were just goofing off. So I was doing whatever I wanted. We were winning, and that conceptually in a video game is fun when you can play it however you want and find positive results.
Totally.
So I definitely had a great time there. On a more competitive axis, I don't know. Sure. But my initial foray in, with my very niche experience, I had a good time.
Great. Bridget, how about you? What was your experience like, either watching it or playing it yourself?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play it yet, but I have been making all my friends who I watch on Twitch play it because I think it's interesting and I think it's kind of fun to see the reaction. I actually got one of my friends, shout out Ghosty, to play it on his stream yesterday. He like hadn't seen anything about it, hadn't tried it yet, and I was like, oh, I'd be curious to like watch your like first time playing it. And of course, yeah, he had no idea what was happening at all, and it was and that part is very funny. Like, he sees a Stantler come up and he's like, what's happening? I don't know. And it was like they were losing, they like, you know, lost the first zap but defended and like came back and like won, and so it was just like a very cute like first experience. And actually, like, a lot of his chat was like really positive on the game mode too, and we're like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's so fun, like try it. And I was like, wow, Unite community like kind of seems happy, like let's go, like I'll take this.
A rarity,
So yeah, honestly, like from a watching perspective, I've been enjoying it, but also agree with like Doomsax's point. I haven't really watched, like, I'm sure in a competitive setting it's very different, and yeah, right now it's just kind of people like trying things out, but I like it. It's probably like the first casual game mode I've like am actually very interested in.
Yeah, I think that's right where my sentiments are too. I find it just a blast. Like, I was talking to Bridget before we even got into the episode here. When I like sit down to play a couple games on Unite, I usually end up playing like an even distribution of ranked games and first to 500 now. Like, I'll sit down, I'll play two ranked games, I'll play two first to 500, and then you put the game down and wait until later or something like that. But that is usually my play pattern. I find it so, so fun. I think the game mode is really exciting. You mentioned, like, just a second ago, Bridget, that the moment that, like, you start losing, a Zapdos is coming, but your team like rallies together. You take down a Zapdos push, you knock out three or four of them, and you charge back the other way, and you start making a play on the other side of the map. Like, those moments are truly so, so fun. There is some things in the game that I would like to see change. I do think the games are, like, to what Dubsnax was saying, can be just way too lopsided. Like, insurmountable leads are absolutely a thing in that game. And yeah, there's a few things I would adjust, but overall, I think their first foray added at putting it in our version of the game, obviously a China mode staple, but putting it in our version of the game, I do find it extremely fun. There's some things I'd like to see change. I've been talking about it a little bit online, but I would love to see basically every objective wild Pokemon on the map just amplify their health by like three times at least. Like, let's give people a little bit more time to see someone hitting an objective. We can try to rotate, steal it, something like that, rather than if someone's hitting an objective, it's gone in 2 seconds and it wasn't even like worth trying to move towards it. So stuff like that. But overall, I really do find it so fun. And yeah, the way it exists in game, just as a casual game mode right now, I think it kind of works. Like, it's a good time, and people enjoy it. So, honestly, yeah, more reasons for people to have more ways to play the game is always a good thing, in my opinion. Especially, like, 10,000% in a Pokemon audience, right? I think Pokemon Unite is a very weird game for just a regular Pokemon fan to pick up and just, like, you know, I like Pokemon, I want to try this game. There's so much to know and try to understand to be successful in Pokemon Unite. So having more avenues for just like casual arcadey play at the moment, I think are great. So big, big fan of 500 point mode, and glad Pokemon Day was talking about it a little bit. So I'm excited about it. Future for competitive in that game mode, I think it could exist, but I do think we need to have some changes to the game mode overall and things like that. But overall, I'm pretty positive on it. Any more thoughts on first of 500 point mode before we move on?
I hope if it's next season's competitive game mode that they announce it at the very latest Worlds. Teams have a real opportunity. And that's actually, in my opinion, not even long enough. I think that's the latest. I think it should happen much earlier. But if we want to have some sort of competitive international scene, right? Because as we know, everybody plays themselves competitive, but they end up being pretty incestuous in that fashion. If we want to have a very competitive international scene, you need to get these kids focused on it as soon as possible. But it's tough because everybody is so focused on what they have in front of them now. Perfect example, you know, we saw the fallout, right? We're in remote stadium and 500 point mode came out, and you have a bunch of people like, you know, like LG. Well, I'm going to compete in ACL for real stuff, and I have no access outside of, you know, dedicated scrim blocks, right? They can't like just jump in and like grind out certain characters or whatever. We even saw people focused, you know, for the final stretch play-ins that are like, man, this is not awesome timing for that. So while I sympathize with that, I just hope that if the transition is going to happen to 500 point mode, that we give these players enough time to mentally download what's going on, so that we can have a real competitive season. Because like I said, face value, if we take it and we have some lopsided stomps, it's going to be miserable to watch. Games are going to be over in 6 minutes. There's going to be nothing to talk about. It's going to be an absolute rinse fest. And the only highlight you'll be able to talk about it is at least we were on the hook for 6 minutes instead of 10. That's my ask there. But I think it's a good step in the right direction.
Cool. Overall. Yeah, I agree. Let's talk a little bit about remote being back and everything, and this event that Unite is doing with a return to remote stadium. It takes over the ranked ladder, and it's stuck around for 2 weeks. In my personal,
is it gone yet?
No, I think this brutal. Like weekend. Vicious. Or Thursday, one of the two. Either way,
terrible. Either way.
Okay. Well, yeah. Here's the thing. I genuinely think it's a fun idea, a throwback playlist. I think it's a cool thing. I would love for them to do like the winter mode map as well, like bring back like remote in with Articuno or something. But yeah, I see Landon saying it in chat right now. I think a weekend event would have been awesome. You know,
I think 2 weeks is fine in a time window.
You mean without tournaments near it is what you're saying?
No, you make it 2 weeks and you say from noon to five, it's remote.
Oh,
and then,
okay.
And then outside of that window, it's Thaya Sky Ruins. So people can log in and play in ranked that time at that time. And if they don't, then that's fine. They can just wait the clock out.
Honestly, I like that because I feel like if you make it like a weekend, I don't know, and you're only doing it like one, like it's only just for Pokemon Day, like obviously how this was. Like, I know people were mad about the timing, but it's like we are part of a bigger picture, and I'm sure Pokemon was like, this is the day. It's happening then. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I like the time lock thing because if it's like over like a weekend and let's say I really wanted to play, but I'm like busy that weekend. I don't know if 2 days is necessarily like enough to attract like those casual people who would be more willing to jump in. So that's why I do like the 2 weeks, but like different times of day, because you more than likely have at least one day that week. That time probably works for you. So
that makes sense.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I actually like that a lot better. That makes a lot of sense. Dude's next. I like that better than I think doing a whole weekend. I think with the time block, if it was during that time, the only difficult thing would be for them to do their like free license at any given time or whatever, right? For like new players that you could play with every single license, I think would favor itself a little bit better to a weekend, where you're like, hey, if you play this weekend, you could play with every single Pokemon, and then when the weekend's over, you're incentivized like, well, I liked that Pokemon, so I'm gonna pick it up or something. It would be a little bit different of a strategy that they were trying to use, but either way, I'd like that time block system a little bit better. I think that would have been more successful. Who knows? I don't know if they'll ever do an event like this again. It was literally 3 years, and it was the first time we ever saw this. So,
right.
Exactly. Who knows? It's not exactly precedent at this point to have something like this happen, but we'll see. Let's talk about our next topic. It's a very short one, and kind of an exciting one. The Asia Champions League is now officially going to be having an English broadcast stream from in the venue, which I am so excited about, because namely Doofsnax, Spraggles, and I will be on the commentary team for it. We are going to be live from Japan at the end of the month to be talking about Asia Champions League. We've talked about it so much on this podcast, but it's going to be one of the biggest events of the year. Obviously, all the best talent from the East competing against, I guess, Luminosity Gaming as well, competing in person in currently the most popular place to play Unite in our entire world. So, or at least in outside of China, I suppose, in Japan. It is going to be so crazy. Debut of the Chinese teams. Hopefully, they can make it to Japan. They weren't able to make it to EUIC. So, hopefully, it's able to work out in that way. But it is truly going to be such an amazing event. I can't wait. Bridget, I know you co-stream. It's also going to be a UCS monthly event as well. Are you planning on going live for 48 hours that weekend?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I would love to watch party your guys's ACL stream, though. Like, I was kind of excited to watch party ACL anyway, but I don't know if they had an English broadcast last year.
They did. Blanking. Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Dan Lee and Crew was on it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's always nice that they have that. But I'm just so excited that you guys will get to be in the venue and like host it. So I'm hype. I'm definitely gonna try to make it happen because this is pretty huge. It's like your guys' first time like casting a Eastern like event, basically.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy.
It's gonna be wild.
It's gonna be dope. It's gonna be dope. You know, not to completely throw out the window all the March Cup stuff, but this is definitely gonna be the thing to watch and kind of before this kind of materialized and we were eyeing up March Cup, man, all Zoink, Spraggles, and I were talking about is how do we co-stream? How do we do essentially how do we plan out this weekend so we get some sleep, but also watch ACL and cover March, right? Because originally that was what we thought was going to happen. So when we got this
news, I was planning like Airbnb, like watch party level stuff.
You
like
have
I was going. Yeah, Bridget and Doofsnax were getting a flurry of DMs from me. I'm like, okay, well, what if maybe we get sponsorship from this? And like, I was going hard in the paint. So glad that this happened.
Yeah, it's so exciting. It's gonna be so much fun. We're not too sure what the approach is gonna be yet. If it's gonna be watch party, if it's gonna be casting, it's gonna be a combo. But either way, it's gonna be a great time for sure. Mm-hmm. Obviously incredibly fortunate, incredibly lucky. Not gonna miss the opportunity to do the best I can, of course. So it's exciting.
It's gonna be awesome. And so luckily exciting. For me, it won't be Fearless Draft. It'll just be normal. I'm so excited about that.
I didn't even think about that. I forgot that was finals last year.
Oh, yeah, it sure was.
That was a ride.
That was a little rough.
Yeah, I was a bit of a stick in the mud about all of that last tournament, so I am pretty excited about just, you know, good old Deus Sky Ruins at the end of March. It's going to be awesome. I personally am so excited about it. But who knows what the actual metagame is going to look like, because we had a pretty off-the-walls patch in this last one. I think it is, was it Assault Gate? Was that the
Assault
first?
Break.
Assault Break. Okay.
Assault is right.
Because that I had a good tweet. I said, yeah, this is Assault. Please give me a break.
Please. Of course. How did I forget the triple platinum tweet? Okay. You're yeah. right. It is Assault Break tweet. Meta. And essentially, the big talking point is, well, first and foremost, Snorlax is even stronger now. Block is giga strong. The HP buff to that Pokemon has made Flail a very real threat of an attack, and it's awesome. I hope that that is what we see a lot of Defender play in this weekend's tournament, is Flail Lax. That would actually be so sick. But we'll see. The other more probably important talking point is four speedsters got a host of buffs as well as a brand new stat. We got defense penetration for both for standard defense and special defense to Absol, Talonflame, Meowscarada, and Gengar. A couple of Pokemon that I think you could make the argument definitely needed some buffs. Looking at Gengar, probably looking at Meowscarada. And looking at a couple of speedsters that likely didn't need the buffs, at Talonflame and Absol. But either way, if you have picked up the game in the last week or so and hit ranked, you have seen and you have ran at full speed away from one of these Pokemon. They are ridiculously strong at the moment. Let's talk about it. Bridget, how are you feeling about a speedster meta? As a support main, by the way.
You know, it's maybe not the most motivating or comfortable environment. Mm-hmm. However, I was a pretty big Meowscarada enjoyer before I felt like she was pretty hardly nerfed. So I'm actually kind of excited to maybe get back on my Meowscarada grind. But ooh. Aside from that, Absol being maybe the best Pokemon in the meta. Also being on remote is very, it brings back a lot of bad memories.
Yeah. We're one fluffy tail away from a full throwback. It's wild. What a meta. Doomsnax, how you feeling about these speedsters?
Oh, boy. Yeah, as also a support player, all I did when I was feeling back against the wall is just Blissey, Safeguard, Helping Hand, let's get after it. But in all seriousness, as a support player that likes to play the non-healing support support characters, it's actually really good for that. Yeah. Because you're obviously engaging in different ways, right? Because when it's a speedster meta, Pollen Puffs do nothing.
Right.
Clefable barely does anything. Eggs don't do much. You know, you start thinking about all these healing options and they don't work fast enough to deal with the speedsters, right? So how do you combat that?
Exactly.
It's with literally all the other cool stuff that we get to do. So like support wise, it's pretty liberating, because if the speedsters are just, if it's just a speedster brawl, then it's like, yeah, Sableye's gangster shit now. Right.
Yeah.
So that's like cool. Awesome. So from that angle, it's pretty neat. Overall, I think it's not good for the health of the game, to be quite honest. I think it's going to be a very fun look for this weekend, selfishly, because these teams are going to have to ban in very bizarre ways. From a viewer standpoint, I think that is fun. It's not something I'd want to compete in.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I hope this is the last weekend we have with this. They make a patch and we can move past it and I'll chuckle. But I think Spraggle said it best. You know, we've had a lot of like ticky-tack kind of like window wash patches. And this one kind of feels like a, like, you know, like an actual thunderball like thrown down the alley to go for a strike. And, you know, it might have been a gutter ball, but at least it was a, it shook shit up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. And it got everybody to start thinking. And, you know, if you're going to miss on a patch, I'd rather miss like this than wonky dial adjustments across the board that kind of feel, underwhelming or break the game in a non-cool way, or at least in a non-violent way. So I like their approach on this patch. You know, just figure out somebody that understands the numbers of the games and go from there.
Yeah, I am in complete agreeance with like the patch philosophy. Like, I feel like on this podcast, we used to be pretty like positive towards the smaller patches. Like, I don't know, Bridge and Dupesize, you might disagree, but I feel like we were talking a lot about them. We were like, you know what, like, kind of like these small patches, some things become relevant, some things kind of dip a little bit, and that's fine. But as of recently, we have been like, come on, give us something new. So I have been very excited about this patch. I am coming from the point of being a commentator, so I am super excited for this weekend. We are going to see some brand new looks. Bora Reach is going to be unlocked. Can't wait. Shout out some NA Pokemon Unite. That's going to be very fun. And I, as a person who does love ghost Pokemon, Gengar getting their one chance to be meta finally is something that I am always going to rejoice. So excited about that. And I've been really enjoying my time on ladder. Yeah, I think this positive spin we're putting on this patch will get dampened a lot if, you know, next week we don't have a fix to some of these Pokemon that are so ridiculously strong. All of a sudden it goes, okay, like, what are we doing here? But if we do see them toned down slightly, I think that could be really, really cool. My big thing, in terms of the actual numbers of the patch, I don't mind the defense penetration stats on some of these speedsters. I think it genuinely makes some sense that you want to try to break through something. A lot of the meta Pokemon have been getting bulkier and bulkier as time goes on. I don't understand why we're also making the speedsters bulkier, though. That has been, like, the big question mark for me. It's like I get, like, they've been trying to buff up the attacker's defenses and things like that so they can just kind of, you know, handle the metagame these days, but why are we buffing speedsters HP? Like, they already have so many tools to try to avoid damage or get out of damage. Yeah, crowd control can be pretty ridiculous in this game, but there's options to try to get away, and well, if you're playing a Pokemon that can knock you out in two hits, you need to have some kind of response. So I feel like that philosophy was a little strange. It was like, we could have went either direction. We could have made them bulkier, we could have made them better at taking down higher HP targets, and they did both. And I think that might be the most egregious to me.
The thing I disagree with there is I don't think making them bulkier ever should be on the table. I think the slider is how strong they are, like, as a character, how strong they are, right?
Yeah.
How much damage they do. But speedsters uniquely need to be able to be dusted if they get CC'd down. You know,
true.
It needs to become the glass cannons of... They have all the mobility, give them all the strength, and then make them, you know, fold like laundry if they step in and get caught on something. Like,
totally.
That's the trade-off. So I agree with you completely. The putting them bulkier thing makes no sense, but I don't think it ever should have been on the table, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. Yeah, I said go either direction, but you're saying, honestly, never go the one direction.
Correct.
You're gonna do anything.
Correct.
Because I do think the one direction we're saying is correct and upping their damage or penetration or whatever. Maybe that was a little too far on that slider, but... In the end, I mean, come on, Gengar, if we're saying glass cannons, Gengar was a glass pebble shooter. Like, it was tough out here for the kid.
Yeah, for sure.
And you had to pay $100 to get his most recent skin, so, like, come on.
he earned it.
Exactly. Bridget, any more thoughts on the actual stat changes that all these speedsters have received?
It was definitely pretty interesting, I thought, just, like, kind of adding in this whole new stat, but I feel like what you guys said makes sense, like... I don't think it was inherently bad. I feel like maybe Meowscarot and Gengar deserved it.
Mm-hmm.
Townflame and Absol, I don't know. But that wasn't for me to decide. So overall, I'm not too mad about it. Kind of with the same asterisk that you had, Zoinks. Pending, it doesn't last very long.
Yeah, that's the big concern. We get it for one tournament, gonna be a crazy haywire tournament, but it'll be fun. It'll be fun for commentators for sure.
I think the lesson learned needs to be patches like this are the direction I think patches should go in to generate excitement in the game and really change the texture of how competitive ranked is played.
Yeah.
Just learn your numbers a little bit and maybe have a little bit more theory behind the approaches you make. Mm-hmm. So like if it was this patch minus the bulkiness, ramp up, like you said, the piercing and attack, like that's an easy slider to just pull back and like, ah, crap, we pushed that too far. Yeah. But now we're getting to where we want to be. This patch still feels impactful, right? Now everybody's talking about, you know, then we can start talking about Snorlax, for example. But the fact that they're also hyper bulky makes it a tough pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. But I hope the lesson learned from this isn't don't do patches like this. I hope the lesson learned is, this is a good thought process here. Let's just dig a little deeper into the application of it.
Big agree. Big agree. Okay, let's talk about the other thing that was a really big change up in the game is we got a brand new Pokemon release. So Suicune has hit the game, a new all-rounder, and I say that only in the in-game classification terms. As someone who has put in quite a few games on this Pokemon, this is an attacker. This is an attacker Pokemon in the game. It is a wolf in attacker's clothing. That is what is happening. It is so interesting because like the only move on this Pokemon's kit that feels all-rounder-esque is its Unite move. Like it's a very all-rounder Unite move. But everything else is so attacker-coded. I'm really curious why they went with this classification. But either way, Suicune, as enter the game, it is a legendary Pokemon, a part of one of those events, so in Classic Unite fashion, it is a Pokemon you can obtain for free by playing quests. Is this also the first time that they have introduced you can get a holoware for the Pokemon also for free by playing the event? Or has that happened before? I can't remember.
I feel like we haven't gotten a free skin that in a minute.
Yeah.
And I don't usually complete the free quest for Pokemon things, so I could be wrong, but I don't feel like they usually do that.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. So either way, pretty exciting news. It was actually kind of exciting for me because thank you very much to the Pokemon Company for giving me a license code to play with Suicune. I'm having a lot of fun with it. But I still am playing the event though. I'm still rolling the dice. I'm looking at what Pokemon I have to play in my 500 point mode rounds so that I can roll the dice again and keep moving. Because then I can get the free holoware. And I'm like, that's cool. I like that. That's like really fun that you can play. Oh, people are saying Darkrai was also available on there too. That makes sense. I think it might have been there before. Okay. But I think that's a really cool idea. It's fun for these events. Obviously, it's a pretty lofty goal. Like it's a lot of tokens to get both those things. It's probably more for, hey, if you get the license, then you can get the holoware via the event. But either way, a pretty cool idea. Suicune, in general, though, thoughts? Deucex, we'll start with you. Have you gotten the chance to play it at all, or have you just played against and with it?
I've played against and with it. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a collateral damage to the patch. I just think it's tough to play right now.
Yeah.
It really is. In any meaningful way to make you feel good about what it's doing. I never felt imposed on by it. I never felt like the Suicune on our team was a game-changing player either. So, jury's out.
Okay, gotcha. We'll definitely get more into the nitty-gritty when we give this Pokemon a report card in a little bit. But yeah, overall thoughts, jury's out. It's a little tough in this current metagame for sure because it's an attacker. Bridget, how about you?
I remembered when I was playing, it was right before Suicune came out, so I haven't played games with it yet, only been watching it a little bit, but honestly, I feel like I haven't even seen many people playing it, I guess. Yeah. I don't know, maybe I was busy on release day, and then after that, I really haven't seen it. So, but I did watch its movesets and stuff prior to it releasing, once it was on the PTS, so I am pretty familiar with its moveset, and I was kind of surprised when I was watching. I was like, wow, this actually seems like something I kind of want to play.
Yeah.
So I'm always kind of waiting for it to be available for tickets and not just gems, because it does seem kind of fun, but Yeah, I'll also do Saxo's Point. If it plays like an attacker, this maybe it. Yeah, it's kind of getting an interesting release with it. Not only being this like speedster meta, which I feel like are pretty rare. We have like, I mean, I don't know if we've ever had four speedsters kind of running rampant.
Yeah, no, never like this. Yeah, it's usually like, oh, Absol's a problem. Okay, or you know, like Comfey, Meowscarada, like something like that is terrifying. But never four of them. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a wild time to be entering the scene, and getting its release on remote is almost kind of like. I'm like, wow, when's the last time we had a Pokemon release on Remote Stadium?
Yeah.
Kind of a weird entrance to the arena, but...
What would be the last one?
We'll see.
Would it be Tyranitar? Would that be the last release on Remote? The only reason I could think of is because I know we announced Thea at Worlds that year, and that weekend, Tyranitar was released. But maybe there was another Pokemon... Like after, before Thea actually hit the game, I don't remember, but yeah, wow, what a time forever.
Think about it.
Yeah, pretty crazy. Okay, my overall thoughts on Suicune. I love this Pokemon. I wish they did it better justice in game. That's just gonna be my upfront opinion of it. It looks so cool. It plays in. It's got a unique playstyle, which I do like. Like, I like that it is an attacker that is combo-focused. It has range crowd control that is very, very combo. Think something like Alolan Ninetales, maybe even, like, maybe a higher skill cap Delphox, maybe, or potentially even, like, a Gardevoir if you're trying to, like, land stuns and then, like, Moonblast or something like that, right? So, similar in that vein, but just, like, it plays in a kind of a different angle, which is fun. Its boosted attack is interesting. The tough parts about Suicune, I think, are stat-wise, it does feel like it's not doing a ton of damage, and for a Pokemon that you're kind of picking in the carry spot, it feels like you're underperforming in that area. Its early game is not very good compared to, like, a lot of other contenders for that same slot. And then third and, like, final, only one of the movesets feels strong. Like, the Whirlpool Icy Wind build feels good. Everything else to me just feels not great. In my opinion, which is tough. So I definitely think we are getting a buff to this Pokemon. Like, yes. I think this Pokemon is going
100%.
To see a lot of love from Timmy in this next round of balance patches. For a Pokemon that obviously everyone was so excited about, to see it released like this is honestly really interesting. Like, it, you know, if you're going to break one,
this is not the one I would expect to be underwhelming.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying maybe it wouldn't be as evident if it didn't come off the back of this speedster patch where it's just like it has no chance.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe not fair.
It's
a fair shout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump into it. We did this only one other time. We've done this for Galarian Rapidash, but for those of you listening in podcast land, we are going to be filling out the report card for the Suicune release. When we did it for Galarian Rapidash, we maybe were a little too generous with some of the categories, specifically in the balance level. I think Bridget and I had not truly seen the horrors that the horse could commit. And so we were a little light on that one. But other than that, I think we did okay.
Fine.
On the assessment of that Pokemon. So let's get into it. First category that we need to give this Pokemon a letter grade on is how fun the Pokemon is. An all-rounder that plays like an attacker, has a Unite move that feels pretty strong in major team fights, which feels good, but it just doesn't feel like it's doing too much damage. I am leaning towards a B for Suicune. How do we feel?
Well, I'm going to defer to you because I haven't gotten to play it.
Okay, fair enough. I guess, Bridget, you also haven't played it.
Yeah, I haven't, but I even feel, I'm like... is it fun if you aren't feeling like you're doing anything? I don't know.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I think the fun factor of this Pokemon is not the problem, is what I'll say. Okay. Like, I think there's other categories that it's going to rank worse in. I think the landing the combos for Suicune is satisfying and fun. It's just like,
it
doesn't have as much of an impact as you'd want it to. And so I think this Pokemon could be fun. Like, I think the design is fun. It's just not where I want it. So I'm willing to be a little bit generous and give it a B in this spot. I think in lower ones, it is also going to be not doing great. But
okay, fine.
Okay. We will give this Pokemon a fun level B. Oops. Da-da-da-da. How did I do this?
No S tier.
No S tier. Oh, goodness.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, I moved it, but that's fine. Okay, there we go. Fun level. We're giving it a B. Okay, balance level.
Wait. So if it's balanced, would that be an A, or is an A broken? Do you know what I'm saying?
We're rating it on how, like, no, A is not broken. A, if it is broken and it is ruining the game, that would be an F.
An F. Okay.
Yeah, it's like we're judging how Timmy released this Pokemon.
C.
Okay, as in too weak. It's going down to C for being too weak. Okay, I like that. Correct. Bridger, how do you feel about a balance level rating of C?
I feel good about that.
Okay.
I keep wanting to add a minus. Like when we were talking about fun, I'm like, I want to say B minus.
Fuck Suicune, C minus.
I don't know why. And then with this one, I was like, I really want to say C minus, but I have no reason why.
Okay, is fun going also to a B minus? No, I'm arguing for B to stay as the standard level grade. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, flavor / theme for Suicune.
From what I've seen, it seems on brand.
Yeah.
My heart tells me a B.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it does, you know, he's a water beast. Right. Some may say dog, some may say cat.
It's got retractable claws. It's a cat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Pardon me. my bad.
Flavor theme S to your cat.
Yeah, it's a cat. I do kind of have a high expectation, I feel like, of Suicune, so I don't feel like they did a bad job, but he's not as mighty as I feel like he maybe could have been.
Okay.
He's really small.
He is small. Here's the thing. I would be willing to give it A because I think the water ice flavor is done well. Like, it doesn't feel like, obviously Suicune is a water type Pokemon, but it doesn't feel like it's just using water as a part of its kit, and it doesn't feel like it's just using ice. It genuinely feels like it's a balance between the two, which is not always easy. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Lapras can kind of walk that line too, but Suicune, I think they did rather well on that, but I'm not willing to give it A. It's not fast enough, in my opinion. Like, every time you see Suicune in any clip, it's, like, running. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those Pokemon that it's, like, it's traveling all around Johto when you're trying to look for it. Like, it's a roaming Pokemon. Like, it should have been faster. I think B for flavor / theme.
Bridge, you want to throw a minus on there?
I was really thinking about it.
All right. B minus it is. B minus it is. Can't argue with that. All right.
I'm overcompensating for the glaring Rapidash.
Fair. Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay, solo queue viability. Reminder, this is a report card for this Pokemon upon release, not like in its lifespan. So right now, what do we give it for solo queue viability?
C minus.
Okay. I was willing to dip down to like D.
D? Whoa. D. Not passing. All right,
I'm down. D minus.
Yeah, does D... Do we have to give
D? No. I hold the line.
Do we have to give it a D if it's below 50% win rate? I guess we don't have that data yet.
I think... Did someone post the data? I'm trying to remember.
Maybe there was the weekly data.
Yeah.
But
dang, it's tough out there for Suicune. I mean, maybe it doesn't deserve D. You know what? D plus.
D plus.
Okay. D plus.
It is so funny because it's a Pokemon that you can win games with. Like, you can do well. It just feels so much harder than having like so many of these other Pokemon on it that it feels like that. Okay, competitive viability.
F.
Yeah.
I don't see a purpose to pick this up right now. at all, actually.
Yeah.
Like, at all.
Genuinely.
Would you, like, have to play it in jungle? Like, is this early game?
You wouldn't. You would select a ham sandwich over it.
Okay. Well.
I think F's fair. Listen, like, the best part of its kit is just its Unite move, which is just Blaziken's overheat, but worse. Like, I mean.
I see.
Yeah. Gosh. Man, tough report card for Suicune.
Yeah, so, not one. Such a twist, you know? Yeah. Not what I ever would have... Usually the Pokemon Day Mons are pretty...
Yeah?
Overwhelming.
Agreed. Okay, well, for those of you listening audio that don't have it in front of you, here it is as follows for all the letter grades. For fun factor, we're giving Suicune a B, which is its highest score on this sheet. Balance level, a C-. It is just simply released too low in a lot of different stat numbers. Flavor slash theme, a B-. Passing, but it doesn't exactly feel like a lot of people's opinion of this Pokemon truly is. Solo Cleo viability, it is a generous D+. Competitive viability, an honest F. Hundo Burger level. How many Hundo Burgers out of 5 are we giving this thing?
Max 1, right?
I was going to say 1. Okay. One burger.
Oh, not that. Wow, we are giving Suicune a single Hundo Burger out of 5.
Aww.
Yikes. I mean, that's tough.
I feel bad.
I genuinely feel bad. A Pokemon I truly love. And it's so funny because I think this Pokemon, give it a week or two, will be so much more fun and would, like, shatter this report card. But upon first glance, I mean, the GPA for Timmy this year is not looking great.
El Cremmy will save us.
El Cremmy will truly save us. Let's go.
Yeah, Raichu will as well.
Yeah.
I won't let Raichu get a bad grade.
Riding for the horse. I'm not gonna lie to you. To be fair, when we made that, I hadn't played agility, so that was maybe
that's yeah, oversight. Hey, it
did you say you hadn't played agility?
No, I was playing the other move like all night. The
smart strike, or whatever.
Yeah.
Also okay.
I was like, huh.
Okay.
All right.
Leave me alone.
There's a report card. Chat, if you have any, or chat, if you're watching this on YouTube as well, leave in the comments if you have any ideas that you think would make Suicune better. Please post them down there. Let us know. That'd be huge. Okay, our final topic of the night is just going to be final stretch qualifiers this weekend. You know, it is an interesting thing. We've talked a lot on this podcast about teams to watch and things like that for a lot of these upcoming tournaments. But at this point, you know, there's a lot of the same faces that are going to be making it into the top 8 and of these regions. And this is an important tournament to be playing for. The winner of this tournament gets the travel award to NAIC to play in New Orleans to the final stretch tournament, which, of course, the grand prize for that one is going to be a spot at the World Championship. So, very exciting. You get that chance to go play for that. That means, you know, you going into your regional tournament that will happen before that, you know in the back of your mind, hey, at least we got another shake at this. We'll be in the running for one. That is pretty exciting. Not to mention this tournament also has championship points associated with it. But so instead of talking about the teams and things like that, I think we'll definitely break down on next week's episode some of the breakout teams from this tournament in the regions we end up talking a lot about, like Europe and North America. But for this one, let's talk a little bit about what we expect to see metagame-wise. I think that'll be the interesting prediction because who knows what we're looking at. So let's go through our classic round of predictions. And let's start with the most picked Pokemon that we'll be playing this weekend. And I believe, at the point of recording, I have not heard anything on Hoopa. I'm pretty sure it is not banned for this weekend, I think.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's so, a whole thing. But I'm pretty sure it's not banned.
So the speedsters throw a bunch of things in the mix.
Yeah, four uniquely shaped wrenches into the mix, for sure.
If Hoopa is not banned, like Hyperspace Hole banned, I think Hoopa will be the most picked because Blissey is more bannable at this point because the speedsters are going, which I think by proxy makes it, like, the premier support to pick up.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure, I'll say that.
Okay.
Say Hoopa.
Fair. That's, like, a part of me that thinks, like, Umbreon is going to be like I think we might see less tank Umbreon and more support Umbreon. in this tournament upcoming weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mean Look is good into a couple of the speedsters. Foul Play is great into the other ones. You know, like you have decent options there. But other than that, it kind of gets walked over in a few settings. That's going to be difficult. Interesting. Bridget, do you have a pick in mind for most picked Pokemon this weekend?
I was going to go Umbreon if you weren't. Okay. But...
No, go ahead. Take Umbreon. I'm going to go to a different one, I think. I think for most picked Pokemon, and I think we're probably largely talking about North America for this tournament, but EU is usually a very similar metagame.
Yeah.
I am going to go with Urshifu, I think. It might be the most picked.
I like that.
Most picks? No, I gotta back off. I'm already backing off. I'm already regretting that decision.
Oh my god.
I'm regretting the decision immediately, and I apologize to everyone who took that as canon. I am immediately walking it back, and I will see the most picked Pokemon. I'm also saying Umbreon. We're both saying Umbreon. two it's Umbreon choice. Choices and a Hoopa
it's
choice.
That's a really good choice. Yeah.
I'll change mine. I'll say Psyduck.
Oh, that's a great choice. How did I not think about Psyduck? I like that one a lot. Okay. Resident.
I tried to give it to you something else.
Yeah, I know, honestly. Resident most win rate holder, right? Psyduck still holding on to that mantle after EUIC. I think that's
probably
true.
I can't remember.
I have the stats. I will pull them up right now. But
we did just talk about them.
Speaking of win rate, what does everybody think the highest win rate Pokemon will be? It was Urshifu, by the way, with highest win rate in a USC. Nice. 76 win rate percentage. Psyduck had 74% win rate.
Thanks, Trainer and Overlord.
Yeah, who won that tournament, I wonder?
Yeah. 34 picks. Okay, so we're going with highest win rate. If you do want, I can give you the rest of the EUIC stats. Obviously, the metagame's changed quite a bit.
I think I know who I want to pick.
Oh, okay. Go. What do you got?
Yeah, lead the charge.
Aegislash.
Okay. Aegislash
going on. That's
actually
what I was thinking about, too.
Interesting.
I think he's a pretty good speedster counter. But okay. Probably one of the speedsters maybe taking this one.
Yeah. I think that's a good one. Though. I think Aegislash is a good choice. It did have a rougher EUIC, only a 46% win rate percentage at EUIC. So it looked strong, though, at times. Like, when a good player had Aegislash, it was like, whoa, okay, that's a good one. How about
I need Overlord on the Aegislash.
Yeah. That's good.
Then we'll be cooking.
I'm going to be lame, and I will say Psyduck, because I don't think it's going to get banned. I think it's going to get pryo'd and...
Fair. I'm gonna put Urshifu here. I think Urshifu is a back-to-back highest win rate in the game tournament weekend. I think it's gonna be extremely strong still.
Urshifu got a little nerfed, didn't he?
Wicked Blow did, right? That's a good point.
I think so.
That's a really good point.
I don't know if it's enough, but
okay. That's a really good point. Okay, final one. What Pokemon do we think is going to be banned the most? EUIC stats, Blissey was the most banned at 63% ban rate. Inteleon right behind it at 56. Psyduck at 52. Everything else under 50%.
You're going to be like Blissey or one of the four speedsters.
Okay. You're going Absol, you think?
Yeah, just for fun, I'll say Absol.
Okay. Absol.
I think that's smart. I can do the I'll say Blissey. I don't know if that's like obvious, but I feel like that's...
Yeah.
I feel like it's a pretty solid read.
I think it'll be likely...
Maybe Comfey, honestly.
Dude. Yeah, that's fair. I will put my foot in the... I'm going to put my foot in the Maraidon camp.
What? What do you know?
Okay. I don't know. It did make the graphic in terms of most bands. I don't know. I think it's still like one of the only attackers that's still relevant in a lot of these matches. So... Give it probably won't be the most banned, though. It's probably a dumb idea. You know what? I'm changing it.
Oh, my God. I've...
We're going Psyduck for most banned. So, Zoinks locking in Psyduck for most banned. Okay. Out of the four big speedsters, the recently buffed ones, Absol, Talonflame, Gengar, and Meowscarada, which of them has the highest win rate?
I think Talon is going to be the most likely one to get through.
Okay.
Talon and Gengar, and I think people just have more reps on Talon.
Okay, so you're going to give Talonflame the highest win rate?
Yeah, so I'll pick Talon. Yeah.
Okay, I like that. Bridget?
I'm going to pick maybe something silly goofy. I am going to say Meowscarada.
Yeah.
Because I'm basing everything off of what Overlord likes to play. And okay. I do know he kind of likes Meowscarada. I think he maybe likes all speedsters, so right. Could go either way. But I hope the Meowscarada enjoyers come out. And honestly, in ACL in Japan, I think it was Oja was playing like a ton of Meowscarada pre it getting buffed, and it was looking like they were playing very insane things, but they were making Meowscarada look good, and then it got buffed, so I'll cope on Meowscarada.
All right, sick. I am going to go with my boy Gengar. My can of copium to intake is not next to me, unfortunately, but I still am going to lean into the Gengar choice. Let's go. It's going to absolutely crush it. Also, Kyrios is going to play, and he's going to be the best Gengar in lobby, I believe. I'm not just saying that for sure. But it'd be cool if he did. Yeah, I think that's good enough predictions for the final stretch qualifiers. You know, I think we've kind of hit what we can talk about. Like I said, next week's episode will definitely be breaking down the tournament, of course, the Pokemon, the meta choices, but also what teams were looking good, what teams weren't. What does EU look like now that Nouns has completely broken up and gotten back together? It's actually, we didn't talk about that at all. But I guess nothing ever happened, so... No, yeah. No need to discuss it. In fact, we would just nothing just a blip. Ever happened.
Yeah, exactly. Even though we definitely talked about them breaking up last podcast, right.
There is no war in bossing say when it comes to Nouns esports. So great. I think we do have like Sereyu on Komai now, which and then I believe Kranix over to that Gen 5 roster. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. I mean, just a bit of a carry player trade. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, okay. Other than that, any other things we want to talk about before we close up shop tonight?
Doofsax, are you wearing the EUIC Psyduck shirt right now? I am so jealous.
It's so good.
It's so good. I just saw the peak of it. Nice. That's all I had.
Incredible sweater. I can't believe I didn't pick that one up. I'm so foolish. But it is what it is. Okay.
Big misstep on your part for sure.
Truly, truly. Every single time I step into the Pokemon Center, I always leave there being like, I don't need all this. And then I'm like, and I'm back home. I'm like, I should have bought all of that. Oh, well. It is what it is. Dupesnax, anything to plug before we close up?
At Big Bridget on Twitter.
Perfect. Bridget, how about you?
So true. Final stretch this weekend.
Yeah.
Or final stretch play-ins, excuse me. Right. I'm assuming you guys are casting.
Yeah.
They've said that, right? Yeah. Go watch. I don't go think watch they the said Unite.
It, but yeah.
It's fine.
Go watch the Unite. Bang.
Go watch the Unite, baby. You know what it is.
Spraggles will probably call it the play-ons in the opening opening couple lines, and we'll stick with it for the whole show.
Classic.
Classic. I think other than that, if you really like the Pokemon Unite tournaments, you want to catch even more of it, make sure that you're following Steel Agent Kyle's Twitch page. They're doing a lot of broadcasts when it comes to Unite. They've been doing a lot of the Underdunk tournaments, but now they're also going to be doing a big stream for the open qualifiers that lead into the Sunday playoffs for the final stretch qualifier. So if you're looking to catch some of those games, go tune into Steel Agent Kyle's Twitch. Who is that? Oh, sorry, Chad. They're just some random. But anyway, make sure to go tune in. They have some amazing streams and great breakdowns of all the games. So go check it out there. Other than that, please tune in to the podcast next week when we talk all about what went down in the final stretch qualifiers and we really start getting after our focus on the Asia Champions League that will be happening at the end of the month. It's going to be a wild time. We'll see you all there. Bye-bye.
Bye.